Blog Talk Radio.
Faces of Success Radio. Your girl, Miss Diamond.
Hey, yo, world.
You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars.
Young world.
Yo, hey, yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go. You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go.
It's harder. Hello? Hello? Look Up With Your Mind by Mr. Lenny Williams right here on Face of Success Radio. If you are just tuning in, I am your host, Miss Diamond, and today's show is dedicated to the loving memory of the Oscar-nominated Miss Ruby Dee. Her career in film and theater spanned over five decades. She passed away peacefully on Wednesday from age-related causes at the age of 91. She had an impressive stage career playing roles such as Ruth in A Raisin in the Sun. In 1988, she starred with Denzel Washington and Paul Winfield in Checkmate on Broadway and was inducted into the Theater Hall of Fame. Alongside with her husband, the late Mr. Ossie Davis, Ms. D was honored with the Screen Actors Guild Lifetime Achievement Award in 2001. Active in politics, Ms. D was a member of the NAACP, and she leaves three children, Nora, Guy, and Hassana. Ms. Ruby D, this show is dedicated to you. So I want to say that Ms. Ruby D, since she was a part of so many different things in the community, it's very imperative that you get out and you support what's going on and you're a part of anything in your community that's for a positive influence. So today I have a guest caller, and my guest caller is Miss Nina. Miss Nina, how are you?
Hey, Lady Diamond, how are you?
Oh, I am awesome, awesome. Thank you for tuning in to Interviews with the Stars.
Thank you for having me.
So it's to my understanding that you have a community event coming up?
Yes, it's Saturday, June 14th, and it'll be from 11 to 6:30, and this is a community event to unite the community, to bring resources in regards to family values, and I'm going to have some guest speakers out there speaking on various different topics, such as a cancer survivor, a book writer that survived some tragic things in life, and I'm just trying to bring the community together and just bridge that gap that we see nowadays in the community.
So tell us exactly what city is that located in, and do you know exactly what the cross streets are for our listeners today?
Yes, it's located in Sacramento, and it's on Jacinto and Center Parkway.
Okay, great. Awesome, awesome. We look forward to our listeners to attend this event. For more information on this event, of course, you can contact Faces of Success Radio on Facebook, or you can contact myself on Facebook, and my name on Facebook is Ms. Diamond Hot Topics. Ms. Nina, what is your, do you have any information for them that they can log on to a specific website or your Facebook where they can get more information as well?
Yes, they can get more information on my Facebook page, which is Nina Burnside, or they can go to the Soul Legacy Entertainment Facebook page, and there's also a event page that says a family affair. And in addition, at this event, we will be doing a food drive to feed families in need. So I just encourage everybody to come on out. Let's unite and be a blessing to one another.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Ms. Nina, I want to thank you for calling in to Interviews with the Stars on today. And I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. I look forward to seeing the community in such a large turnout for an awesome event. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity again. And you have a wonderful evening.
You as well. Today is going to be epic. You know why? Because I said so.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, yo, yo. You would have just flipped on this CD player. I just want to inform you that you got somebody good you hold on to. You can come home to from a long day work. Ever someone you don't have to show, they know exactly where it hurts. Ever someone who trusts you despite what they've heard. Someone as mighty as a lion,
but still as gentle as a bluebird.
Someone you don't have to tell, you don't want to be lost.
Be
no.
Nice.
Having someone you can grow old with until God calls a home.
Nice.
Having someone who understands that a thug has feelings too. Someone who loves you for so you never let them go. Cause
Oh, that was Sent from Heaven by Miss Keisha Cole. I am your host, Ms. Diamond. You have tuned into Faces of Success Radio. So for this edition, you have tuned into by a young lady by the name of Keisha, and she asked, how do you feel about Internet dating? You know, well, today I'm going to give you a few reasons why dating was better before the Internet. Though most of us can only imagine what dating was like before the Internet, there is still a certain nostalgic about the times when copying and pasting generic messages was reserved for reproducing cover letters rather than hooking up online dating. And How We Met stories largely started with a chance of, hey, let me see if this could work, or let me see how this person is doing because they look cute from their profile. You know, everyone is a profile picture now, personalities. You know, the romance of it all seems to have slipped through many fingers of the World Wide Web, where Mr. I'm So Sexy has cluttered the inboxes of so many ladies with his requests. And he probably asks you some things that he wouldn't even ask a prostitute, which is what is so surprising to me. You know, before, you know, men would come at certain women in a different type of way and, you know, could ask certain things. But now, you know, it's like I'm going to just ask you the freakiest, nastiest questions that, like I said, they wouldn't even ask a prostitute, but whatever. But with that being said, the Internet has done a lot of amazing things for dating. It's convenience and options. Being the couple, you know, a few major ones. But if we step back from our computers for a minute and try out dating in the real world again, you know, really, what would it be like? So talk about it. You get to learn about people gradually. Now, this is dating before the Internet, okay? So instead of having upfront access to where they went to high school, all of the past jobs and where, you know, where their closest friends hang out with and who are their friends on other social media networks, you know, you got the opportunity to slowly get a little bit of information from them personally, you know. But now it's like more of a new and intriguing person or new intriguing personality of who they want to be. You know, it's, you know, all I want you to do is to have fun. Okay? So before Internet dating came, Googling your date was not an option. However, you can discover something about the rest of the population just by typing in their names into a search engine, which frankly feels a bit creepy. I mean, from TV shows to radio shows to just being online and using social networks, you can look at different people and you can say, oh, I want to get to know who Miss, you know, Cash Dow is because she's beautiful and because she's elegant, and therefore I'm going to look up her profile. Well, before Internet dating came along, you didn't have to worry about that. You didn't have to worry about someone just popping your name in a search box and saying, hey, you know, I want to get to know this person. But, you know, however you get to meet people, that's fine. I would love to hear your take on that. I would love to hear your comments. So make sure you call me. You know, let's talk about it. Coming up next hour, we have Mr. Victor Orlando. Oh, my God. He's a percussionist to the stars. That's an interview you guys won't want to miss. Right here on Facebook Success Radio, I am your host, Ms. Diamond.
Choose, I know I'm gonna always choose to be with you.
Well, that was Music Soul Child with So Beautiful. Absolutely one of my favorite songs to play for you guys. I hope you guys are enjoying yourselves today on Interviews with the Stars. Don't forget, coming up next hour, we have Mr. Victor Alendo. That's definitely an interview you won't want to miss, exclusive right here on Face of Success Radio.
Said I'm sorry for everything that I ever done to you.
Yeah.
The apologies overdue.
And I'm sorry for the pain that I ever brought to you.
Baby, I'm sorry for all the times that I hurt you. Lied, cheated on you, then committed every crime except for murder. But you still didn't judge me. In fact, you found a way to love me. Sometimes I'd really mess up and you still found a way to hug me. Laying your hands on me, crying, calling out to God. I want up out these streets, but ma, it's so hard. I'm so scarred, my monster is so large. If it wasn't bad luck, it'd be no luck for R. And I'm sorry, baby, for being so conniving. Cursing you out, arguing in public, drinking, drunk driving. Girl, I need you to believe that I could make it better. I'm in the belly of the beast, but still believe in change of weather. Baby, for storming out of the house, giving you them lame excuses just to get out of the house. And I apologize for all of those times that I made you cry. Like when you bust me up north with that girl and still took me back. I can never forget that. All the pain and drama I caused you. Never forget that every day and night I used to call you. We were best friends. We put our chips all in. We bet we'd never be separated by no man. What I feel, you feel. What I go through, you go through. That's why I have no right to hurt you. And even when I was going through all that bullshit in the media, girl, it was you that made it easier, which is why I write this piece to you. Times that I didn't take you out. Walked the park holding hands, a family cookout. We were headed same direction till I chose my own route. When knowing my life's a dead end without you, no doubt. I wanna be that man inside for you that's so great. Man, I may not go to church every Sunday, but I always pray. Cause in the midst of this fame, my life is like a buffet. Quick to drink, quick to smoke, quick to fornicate. But you done been beside me just like my shadow. Praying warrior, standing on the front line, ready to fight battles. I cannot ask for more in a woman. What I need to do is pour back into my woman. From now on, I'm sorry.
Ooh, 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 ooh. want another place to stay, another home. You've abandoned me. Love don't live here anymore. Just a vacancy, babe. Love don't live here anymore. You have to go away. Don't you know I miss you so and need your love. You've abandoned me. Love don't live here anymore. Just a vacancy, babe. Love don't live here anymore.
Oh, if that wasn't a jam, I just thought I'd take y'all back with the little Rolls Royce, Love Don't Live Here Anymore. So, today's topic is about internet dating. I've been giving you guys a few reasons why dating was better before the internet came up. So, first of all, we have real friend recommendations. Instead of connections through shared friends via dating apps like Facebook or pre-rec internet dating sites such as Match.com, you know, you actually got recommendations from your real friends, you know, the people you really know, people you actually talk to in real life and you see at work or church or, you know, any other social functions that you may have had. This often led to more genuine connections with the person you consented to meet for dinner. Another reason dating was better before the internet is you can now always be reached via email. Even Facebook messages, tweets, or pop-up chat, it'll always show you on your phone, you know, who's calling or who's emailing you, you know. And that way, it's just too much. It's too easy access. In the early stages of dating, especially, even more when you saw multiple people non-seriously at the same time, you know, say you were dating someone in two different areas of your state or your city, you know, you didn't have to be available all day, you know, and before the internet came, it was easier for you. But now that the internet has came and you're on social media networks, you may update your status and the person you are quote-unquote dating or seeing may see, hey, that person's online. Let me pop up and let me talk to them. And it kind of gives you a feeling of obligation, like, man, like I have to talk to this person because they see I just put up a stat or they see I just tweeted or they see that I just checked in. That if the other people or the other person is like, man, are they ignoring me? Like, didn't he or she just see my status? Didn't he or she just see that I actually put up something or contacted them and they didn't respond, man, it gets crazy, okay? Before the internet came, people really had to actually put in more effort. You know, the lack of effort in today's online world can be summed up with the endless, what's up? You know, women get on their Facebook account. Instead of copying and pasting the same message over and over, like dating your line and waiting, you know, for it to budge, people had to actually come up to you with original things to say in, you know, every different person that they meet according to their surroundings or where they met you at. You know, imagine that personalized greeting for your date. I mean, really, who would have thought? So on Facebook, if you tune in right now on my page, Miss Diamond Hot Topic, the question is, how do you feel about internet dating, of course? And Ramon F. Garrett said, to me, it's a 50-50 shot, like meeting anyone out and about. Also, C. Dot Hall said, it just isn't for me. I'm sorry. I did try one site. I just don't like it. But with Facebook, I will say that Facebook is free. And, yes, people can lie on here, too. Past folks, I do believe people can change, and sometimes timing isn't right. I believe if it's meant to be, it'll happen. Something will happen to bring those two back together from the past. But that's only if they want the same outcome. She said, I'm not opposed to dating someone in my past or that I met on Facebook. So that she would decide to actually date someone from Facebook. I mean, we don't get that often. But it is what it is. A lot of people don't like to say where they met their mate at or where their new boo or squeeze came from, which is cool. I mean, you know, whatever makes you happy, whatever floats your boat. It's up to you. But coming up in just a few moments, I have Mr. Victor Orlando in the studio. We're going to be talking to him. I'm going to give him an exclusive interview. He's going to tell you some things about him being a percussionist to the stars. So amazing. You guys don't want to miss this. As soon as we come back, I'm going to play Bliss right here on Face Up Success Radio by John Legend. I'm your host, Miss Diamond. Stay tuned.
To the world, you notice I'm that kind of girl who loves her diamonds and white pearls. So you told me to jet set away in London, sip on some tea, you surprised me with gifts from Tiffany. Oh, I love the way we live, boy, but my daddy say you don't need that boy, so let's run. Feeling you give it is like you got the key to my heart. If we'll ever be touching again, never knew a feeling like this. Pure bliss, pure bliss. Nobody can tear us apart. Baby, it's as good as it gets. Loving you will never be hard.
When the pilot closed the door, said it's time for liftoff. You said, what'd you choose me for? But don't ever wonder, 'cause you deserve the best. Once you reach the top, you'll never question why you love. Oh, my world is yours. What you waiting for? Let's run away, let's run away. Our friends say we're crazy, but we can't listen, baby. They never had it like this. They don't know what it is.
You're blessed, like you got the key to my heart. Simple as a touch and a kiss. Never knew a feeling like this. Nobody can tear us apart. Baby, it's as good as it gets. Loving you will never be hard. It's your bliss.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. If you have just tuned in, you have tuned in to Interviews with the Stars, and I am your host, Ms. Diamond. Today's special guest is Mr. Victor Orlando. So, Mr. Victor Orlando, welcome to the studio. Welcome to the show today.
Hey, thank you so very much. I'm so very happy to be on with you guys. I appreciate it so much.
No problem, no problem. I just want to welcome you to the show. I want you to sit back, relax, and, you know, just enjoy the ride. I've been saying for the whole show that today is going to be epic. Because I believe
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's any day above ground and to talk about what I do is epic enough to let people know so, you know, we don't take stuff for granted. Just be happy for what we do and where we are.
Amazing. So, let's let your fans in on a little bit about you. For those of, I can't say people who don't know you. I mean, really, you're such an icon. You're a percussionist of the stars.
That's the name they've been throwing around. But I've come from years and years of playing with a lot of people. Thank God. And my greatest right now still is the Gap Band. I did 10, 15 years with those guys and albums and tours and television shows, and that was the biggest part of my musical career life. But the rest have been with just numerous of just different A-list artists that you see every day, and some of them are actually still friends of mine. Some of them have passed on and gone on. But they've just been great people to play with, and I thank God he allowed me to not just play my instrument, but play with other people that like me playing my instrument with them.
Yes, yes. So who would you say your greatest influence is in your career?
Well, Gap Band is one, and Chaka Khan would be another, and LL Cool J. They helped a lot when in coming up, you know, through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, of just being with those artists that allowed me to do what I do with them.
Amazing, amazing. I mean, some of your work has been, you know, for the love of money, you know, from that film. I mean,
yeah.
Starring Eddie Furlong and James Caine. I mean, tell us how that came about. How did you, you know, get the opportunity to be a part of that project?
Well, that I created and wrote and produced a CD, and it was submitted for Grammy nominations, 7 Grammy nominations, and an NAACP nomination. And I got in contact with the Music Supervisor Service, which out here in California, they listen to music and they decide whether a movie or a television show wants to obtain the rights to it to use. And one day, looked up online and it was like, you know, give us a call. One of your songs have been listened to and chosen and licensed for a movie. And they told me the name of the movie, and I went right out and rented the movie at the store because it had already been out. I saw the movie come out, but I didn't know my song was in it. And then I went out and rented the movie and watched the whole movie. And when my song came up, I started screaming, laughing, hollering, crying, and taking pictures of the credits.
Oh, amazing, amazing. I could just only imagine that moment for you, you know, and for your family and everyone else who have worked hard and worked with you. I can just only imagine that feeling. So we can hear you on songs such as, oh, my gosh, Computer Love by Roger and Zapp.
Yeah.
That song is epic.
Being a percussionist, you get to play hundreds and hundreds of different little instruments, from little bitty sounds all the way up to the bongos and outstanding, all the way just to just different sounds. And I went into Chick Corea studio with Charlie Wilson years ago when they were doing that, and they just wanted me to play the kabasa on that, and they stuck it in the right spot. And the song goes, don't, that's all I did. And that's right in the middle of the song. After each time it goes, don't, that would be me. And it just makes me smile every time I hear that.
Oh, yes, yes. I remember, you know, being maybe in the sixth grade, you know, that song was a song that you would play on your chest with your hands.
Yeah, yeah.
You would try to emulate that song on a desk or a chair. I mean, that song has really been out for a long time, and, I mean, it's such, you know, it was put together very well.
Yeah, well, thank you. And it's weird. I didn't, when I was cutting these songs, Computer Love and Outstanding and anything else I pretty much did, I really didn't know the impact of those songs. It was come into the studio, cut this song, get your pay, and then go home. Pretty much that's what it was, with the exception of my CD, and still didn't know the impact of that. But just to cut it, to cut the songs, cut the tracks, and then go on about my business, and then years later, people are asking me and interviewing me about a song I did years ago that made an impact. And it's a wonderful feeling.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell us, at what age did you begin or did you have an interest in, you know, instruments and music and, you know, writing? I mean, you've done so much. So at what age were you really like, this is what I want to do?
Well, I guess back in the elementary school when they had the little school bands, but that really was just being a part of the school thing. But when I got to, I guess, high school, getting in the regular high school band, playing drums, kind of like the movie Drumline, is really when it really stuck with me that I liked, this was way past a like, this was something really serious. And so I guess you'd say 16, 17 years old.
Wow, amazing. I love it. I mean, you have a website, so I want to share your website with our listeners today. It's victororlandomusic.com for more information on your music and your photos and your videos. So I would like your listeners to be able to go there and see more about you.
Right.
So you are presented you are a recent, excuse me, of a Lifetime Achievement Award in percussion presented by the 7th Annual Hollywood Fame Award. What does that really do for you personally? Does it give you that same feeling as, you know, I just did this because this is what I like to do? Or was it like, you know, now that I'm in music and now that I've worked with these artists, I'm going to really try to get some awards or get some recognition out of this? Or is it more of like, or was it more of like, oh, this is just a job, let me do it, keep going?
What that was, and I hadn't received, I've gotten some pats, and those are giant pats on the back. You know, you get them all the way from somebody saying, hey, I like your music, to getting a Grammy or to getting an award for this or getting a star on a Hollywood Walk of Fame. So the award situation goes from just somebody saying, hey, I like what you just did, all the way up to somebody handing you something. Now, it's up to you of how you take it and what you do with it mentally. But for me, I never went into it looking for anything, and I didn't know I was going to receive anything. And when I performed, there was a guy sitting in the audience, and he liked, loved, and went crazy about what I was doing, and said he was going, he was the CEO of the Los Angeles Music Awards and the Los Angeles Fame Awards. It had been around for 24 years, giving awards to independent, eligible independent artists. And because I have a CD out, and it's not on a major label, and that's what I became, an independent artist. So he said he is going to give me a Lifetime Achievement Award in percussion. He's not even going to submit it to the board for their approval. He's already seen me. It was like he saw me, and it was no question that's what he was going to do. Well, thank you very much. And next thing I know, I got the award. And it just, what it did was just, there's something from God saying, okay, I mean, I can come down and pat you on the back or speak to you and tell you in your ear, you know, keep doing the job that I gave you or the craft of that I gave you, but I'm going to send you a blessing through somebody else and let them recognize you, but I'm letting you know that we see what you've been doing. So that's what it was to me. People It's God seeing it and sending it through other people to see it, and people see it, and they gave me something for it, and I was just too thrilled for it, too thrilled.
Yes, yes. So tell us about your latest CD, In the House.
In the House. Well, if you, I named it In the House because, you know, I'm a comedian too, somewhat. And
yes,
I figured out, I was going through titles, and, you know, I was with Gap Band for all those years, and they went Gap 1, Gap 2, Gap 3, Gap 4, Gap 5. That was the name of their albums. And I'm like, come on, you put all this great music out, and all you can come up with is a number for a title. I got to do something catchy and better than that. So I said, if a person was walking down the street and saw another person and said, hey, man, you got the new Victor Orlando CD. Well, the first thing that would come out of his mouth was, yeah, man, I got it. It's In the House.
Oh, wow.
And that's where the title came from, In the House. Where that CD at? I mean, I got it. It's in the house.
Oh,
and then I got kind of silly and crazy with it. I said, well, my next CD is going to be called In the Car. And it's going to be Victor Orlando Funjala In the Car. And people say, what? When you got the new CD? Yeah, man, it's In the Car.
Yes. So if you had the opportunity to perform with someone today, who would that person be?
Wow. A lot of great people out there I still haven't played with. I'd love to play with as many as I can, but there's only one group, Santana. I love Carlos Santana's music, and the percussion in it is just, it's the pinnacle of percussion, just to play that much percussion in an entire show that features percussion.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one of the groups.
I'm a firm believer that, you know, what you speak out could actually take place and could happen. You put it out there. So with you putting that out there, that may be one of your up-and-coming projects.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. I have played with everybody, not everybody, but most of the guys from Santana. I just haven't played in that band yet. I've performed with two of the lead vocalists. I've performed with the drummer. I've performed with one of the newer vocalists. So I've performed with, you know, a few other people from the group already. I'm saying in my mind, yeah, it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. It's on the bucket list.
Right, exactly. Some things that I have to do. What was one of your favorite moments on the road? I mean, with touring with the Gap Band and playing with people like Chaka Khan and LL Cool J, what was one of your favorite road moments?
Wow. See, it's different now, 2014, than it was back in the day when we got on buses and we just took off and we didn't come back for 2 or 3 months, we just whipped clean across the country on the bus. And those were really fun times. I mean, just riding the buses with Charlie, Yarbrough Peoples, Robert Goody Whitfield, riding the buses with LL, me arguing and fussing with LL because I really like Kool Moe Dee, and LL and Kool Moe Dee were rival rappers, and he couldn't stand that. But, we joking around. I'm like, yeah, you okay, but I still like Kool Moe Dee. It's like, dude, this is the dude that's paying you. Yeah, but I like Kool Moe Dee.
Right.
It was fun. It was, you know, the kids nowadays is out there playing, touring, and this, they get on a plane, they go do 3 or 4 dates, and they come back home, and that's that. They don't get that same thing that we got, being on tour, being on the buses, being on the planes, all of the crazy stuff that went with it. Before 9/11, back in the day, Gap Band was a big band. It was like 12 to 14 of us. And, you know, as the story goes with black people, they're always late. And you're getting ready to go on tour, and you got 10, 12 people running through the airport like O.J. Simpson trying to make it before they close that door.
Oh,
that
yes.
Is, that
yes.
is funny. I mean, I can look back at it now and go like, wow, there's no way we could even attempt to be late today. You wouldn't get past guard number one. But back in the day, they found out you were the gap in, they just like, go, run, hurry, you can catch it. We'll tell them to hold the door. And you see 10 guys just flying down the hallways in the airport trying to make it before they close that door and back that plane up. That was so much fun. I'm calling it fun now. It was kind of serious then. You know, we didn't want to miss the fight and we didn't want to miss the gigs. It was all serious. But now you look back and that was some seriously funny stuff that was going on.
I can only imagine. With, you know, with being an extremely talented percussionist, what advice would you give, you know, some of the up-and-coming artists now who are in the industry?
Just what I tell, well, I used to teach at school at Los Angeles Unified School District, third, fourth, and fifth graders, and just there's one out of however many that has passion for what they do. And as one that has a gift that God gave him, just stick with the gift God gave you and he'll take care of you. But that's not the way it is now. Everybody's in it for the large amounts of money that can be made, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But that takes precedence over your craft and over your passion and over the gift that God gave you. So if you you can't down them too much for doing it, but you don't. It's not a respect thing there because they're not playing it for the respect of the craft of the love of music. They're just playing it for how many records, how many spins you can get, how many ends you can get. You know who I'm talking about. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many spins I get for my ends, and I want to put how many spins. Oh, Lord, just put out some good music and don't worry about whether you get a spin or not. It's going to happen. But, you know, just everybody just keep doing it. Just don't stop. If that's what you love to do, don't let anything detour you from it, and you'll be okay.
So we talked about your song, Argentina. That was in the film For the Love of Money.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do for your listeners today, I'm going to play that song for them.
Oh, very good. Cool.
So right here on Face of Success Radio, I have Mr. Victor Orlando in the studio. And
hey.
Can you hear it? Argentina, right here on Interviews with the Stars. Great. Welcome back. That was Argentina by Mr. Victor Orlando, who is our special guest in the studio today. Mr. Orlando?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right here. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, I loved it. High energy gives me a wonderful Latin feeling. So I understand that's the first single?
Yes. That's the first Latin single off the CD. And on its first time out, it made it into a movie, and I was really happy about that. In the movie, it was a scene in the movie that there was a wedding, and after the wedding, the guy said, well, now you're married. And he said, yeah, my wife's going to always know where I'm going to be. And me, and the next scene was Miami, meaning that that's where he was going to head, to Miami. So he was saying my wife was always, if I'm not here, she knows I'm going to be in Miami. And then the scene moved to Miami, and as soon as it did, it opened up right on my song, and it played it from the middle of the song all the way to the end. And that was real, really nice.
That song definitely has a Latin funk jazz flavor to it. It's not just one genre of music that we're hearing. So it's definitely something that a lot of different cultures can adapt to and can dance to. You know, everybody loves to dance, no matter what culture you're a part of. I mean, dancing is awesome. So I love that song.
Thank you. I hope all the listeners liked it. You can find it on Apple's iTunes and Spotify and Reverb Nation. You can find the single or you can find the whole CD on any of the number of services that's out there. It's still out there. I'm trying to set it like hotcakes.
Definitely. We're going to put a link on our page on Faces of Success Radio so that your listeners can go and they can purchase that, of course.
Okay.
So tell your listeners and your fans, where have you toured?
Wow. That song, there's a song out that kind of exemplifies what I've done. I've been around the world and I from 78, 79 until now, I have gone around the world. I mean, Amsterdam, Holland, Switzerland, London, England, Japan, America, Canada. There's a lot of places I haven't been. I haven't been to Puerto Rico, haven't been to Brazil, haven't been to Jamaica, haven't been to Australia, haven't been to Dubai, India. Those are the places now where people are kind of going. A lot of musicians go there. But I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of places, you know, at a young age and now, which is good. I mean, you know, I didn't know what I was getting into. And then the door opened up, kind of like an enchantment novel. The door opened up, and there's all of these places to visit and go, all these people to see, all these cultures to meet, and all this music to play. And that's what started it. I'm doing that, and I'm like, wow, this is so cool.
Well, with being on tour to all those amazing places, do you actually have a favorite place that you have performed at?
No, not totally number one favorite. I mean, London, England has been, it holds dear because I've been there a couple of times and it's just a cool place with all of the places. There's not been anything that's distasteful. All of them have their number one spots in my heart. So, you know, Germany, you know, you come through high school reading about Germany and England and France and all of that, and then you go there. And it's like, wow, I just read about you in world history in the eighth grade, and now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a feeling everybody doesn't get.
Who are some of, you know, with being in places, you know, like you said, London, and getting that feeling, you know, you kind of have a connection to those places, and you often think, you know, man, I remember when me and the Gap Band, we were in L.A. and we opened up and, you know, who with these type of artists that you have worked with, and you've been a part of so many different productions, you know, who are some of the artists that are a part of your production?
For my CD? Oh, yeah. Well, see, that was, like I said, one of my bucket list dreams of always to, you know, one day play with Santana, because that was part of the music that I grew up listening to, watching the Woodstock movie, seeing the first ever live concert of Santana, and like, okay, that's the baddest group around, playing Latin music and stuff. So I ended up getting the lead singer from Santana to sing on my CD. That's Alex Lidgetwood singing the lead vocals on that song. And he was, for 25, 30 years, the lead singer for Santana. I started picking away at different people that I knew that were friends of mine to come and help out and support and give me their talents on my CD. By me being in the Gap Band, I did not even consider or think I could afford anybody from the Gap Band to do anything with me. And I was like, wow. And then one of the brothers called me up and said, hey, you know, I'll do something, you know, because there's Ronnie, Robert, and Charlie. So Robert Wilson, which is the bass player from the Gap Band, is on my CD. He's playing bass on that. And that came out of nowhere. He just asked to play on it. I was like, and I'm going to say no.
Say, exactly, get on down there. Exactly.
I've been playing on your stuff for like years, and you call me up and ask me if you want me to play on it. I'm like, yeah. So he came down and played on my funk tune on the CD, and that became really special to me. I got Chocolate from Graham Central Station singing on my song. I wrote another song, kind of like a Graham Central Station song with Larry Graham, but I ended up getting Chocolate. She was the girl that was from that group. And she came down, and then I got another buddy of mine from Stevie Wonder's band to play percussion on it along with me, because I wanted a certain flavor on a song, and he played a lot of African percussion. So we mixed the two cultures of the African percussion and the Latin percussion on a song called Serengeti, which is like an African jazz song on there. And that worked out. And then I got one of Stevie Wonder's background vocals from back in the day to sing on my ballad. I got just different people that were friends of mine that were in the business that were respected and noted to perform on my CD, and it made me feel good.
Amazing. When I asked listeners, you know, tell me exactly what do you think about Mr. Victor Orlando, some of the responses that I got was outstanding, respected, you know, NAACP award nominee. I mean, they knew a lot about you, and they knew exactly, you know, who you were and your background. I've heard classic. I've heard unforgettable because you've been a part of so many different projects. So those were some of the things that some of your fans wanted me to let you know.
Well, that's so wonderful. I just do what I do, and I really appreciate Greg and all of the different people. I'm now starting to do radio shows with a lot of different people that they just want to get what I have to say out to people, and I appreciate that, and that, you know, makes me feel good that I can do that. And I'm just starting to pick up a lot of different shows and things that, you know, so people can hear the music and hear what I have to say about the music and what I've been doing. Because, you know, like I said, everybody doesn't get to do this. A lot of guys out there now are touring with a lot of different people and playing with them, and then they come back and they're through. It's a difference between just going out and playing with this, that, and the other person than when I came up. We lived with these people. We played with these people. I used to live with the group Ozone. We had two houses in L.A., and Ozone was a group that came out of Motown, and they had we were the backup band for Tina Marie, Smokey Robinson, and a couple other Motown acts. But we all lived together, which is a concept that they don't do nowadays. You just get a phone call, and you get on a plane, and you go. We grew up and actually lived with the artist so that we would play together and know each other and respect each other. But nowadays it's, you know, the phone call comes, you go, you come back, and you move on to the next person, which is fine too. But, you know, I got a little more of the package from it, from what the people are getting now.
Yeah, so Ozone was featured on Sienna Marie's Lady T track and Irons in the Fire.
Yep. Square
yes,
Biz.
Definite. Yes.
Yep, we came
awesome,
up with all.
Awesome.
I came through all of that with those guys.
You mentioned Serengeti, so I want to give your fans just a little bit of Serengeti.
Okay.
And you know, you said you've been doing a lot of radio lately and just getting it out there. So I want to, you know, on behalf of Faces of Success Radio and Interviews with the Stars, again, I want to thank you for being a part of the show on today. And
thank you guys for asking me, and I appreciate the time to be here to do it.
Anytime, anytime. So I'm going to play Serengeti for your listeners right here on Face Up Success Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Diamond, and your special guest today is Mr. Victor Orlando.
Yay.
back.
Yes,
just wanted to give your listeners a little bit of that.
Yeah, that was Serengeti.
Well, so how did that CD, name come about?
Well, I called it Serengeti because it reminded me of the old Tarzan movies and the old African movies where there's a boat always going down the Serengeti River in Africa. And you got the lions and the tigers and the elephants on the side and the giraffes, and they just, you know, hollering and screaming and making the sounds, and the, you know, the alligators hitting the water and the birds. So I'm thinking all of that, and then I'm thinking this melody while this boat is just going down the Serengeti River. And the drums thing came in. I was trying to capture some tribe on the side, just, you know, doing a drum thing in their village. And that's where the percussion solo thing came in, and that. But that's my African jazz song on the CD.
I love it. I definitely love it. So the name of your band is Funjala?
Funjala.
Funjala. Okay.
Yeah. it's pronounced both ways. Huh?
I was gonna say, how exactly, you know, did you come up with that name and how to pronounce that?
Well, I've always, aside from Gethin, Shaka, Bobby Womack, LL, they all have their own names. So when I do my separate projects and separate shows, you know, I don't use their names, so I had to come up with something. You know, it's through all my life, it's been the Victor Orlando Band, Victor Orlando and Company, the Victor Orlando Project, the Victor Orlando this, that, or the other. So I even had Energy at one time, just the letter N, the letter R, and the letter G, Energy, because we put so much energy into our music. And just whatever was catchy that would come up. And we always did funk, and we always did some Latin music in our shows, and we always did jazz, and I just started playing around with the word. I took the NK off of the K off of funk, and it was fun. And then I took the ZZ off of jazz, and it was Ja. And I took the LA, the TIN off of Latin, and it was Funjala. And that, it kind of rolled off the tongue because I started doing La Funja and La Rock Ja and Rock La Ja and Rock La Fun, and none of it just rolled off the tongue. So Funjala. And how, why it's pronounced Ja instead of Funjala, because Ja, I'm saying jazz. If you say jazz, it's like jazz. So Funjala. But some people call it, when I first came up with it, I got so many, oh, this is a beautiful African name for your band. Where did you get this African name? It was not an African name. You know, it sounds, you know, Funjala. But it was just the name of the band and the name of the music that the band played. So it was Funjala.
Oh, amazing. I love it. Because a lot of people just, you know, want to know exactly, where did that come from? How was that inspired? And there you have it.
That was it. And it's been around. It kind of did the same as George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic, Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine, Carlos Santana and Santana. So it had that second name tag to it, you know. But it's always going to be Victor Orlando and Funjala because I want people to know, you know, that's me. You know, now that's, sometimes I don't trip about it, but sometimes I do want to make sure I'm out there so that, you know, if you just kept hearing the song from Funjala, if you didn't know anything about it, you wouldn't know that was Victor Orlando and Funjala.
Correct. You definitely,
you know,
need your credits. That's very important.
Yeah. Sometimes I look into how to keep that part of it without egotistically going overboard, but keep that part of it alive to let, you know, people know that this is me.
Your listeners, Josh Adams out of Texas, said, what is your favorite instrument and what song do you like the most?
My favorite instrument now is congas. I started out on drums. I went to congas, and it's a feeling instrument. You play congas by the feel. You learn how to play patterns and rhythms and technique, but then you add that to whatever music you're playing, and that's what you come up with. You come up with a great feeling and a great feel for whatever kind of music playing the congas.
And what's your favorite song? What song do you like the most? That may be hard coming from someone like you.
It's a lot of songs. I go from rock to jazz. I go all of it, to all of the genres. There's favorite songs, Elton John stuff, Chicago stuff, Parliament Funkadelic, Sly stuff, Santana stuff, Sheila E. So it's different songs and different genres of music that I love by all of these different artists. And that's why there are 9 different songs on my CD. My CD is not just a funk song, a CD, or not just a Latin CD. I have funk, jazz, Latin, Middle Eastern, African, a ballad, and some percussion solo in my CD.
So talk to us about that one ballad you have on there. Is that I Got It Bad with vocalist Chocolate?
Yeah, the I Got It Bad is from Chocolate, but the ballad is I Think About You with Wendy Barnes. That's my slow song. That's my throwback to a nice, beautiful ballad.
So who wrote that song?
Oh, I wrote it, but I had a little help from my friends. No, I was at a dinner in Texas, in Dallas, and this young lady, Ali, is her name, and we were just talking music and stuff, and she wrote a couple of lines to the chorus, and I looked at it, and I read it, and I put a melody to it. And I was like, I like this. And I took it, and from there I wrote the rest of the song, and it became a classic ballad after that.
Well, what exactly inspired it? I mean, dinner in Dallas inspired it, or was it a situation that she had maybe went through or you had maybe went through that inspired that song? But, what inspired it?
Have you heard the song? It's kind of deep, huh?
Yes. That's exactly why I asked.
Yeah. Well, no, the truth, and everybody, not everybody knows it because, unless you dig deep enough, I just wanted it to be a beautiful ballad, but the truth of it was that was my childhood high school sweetheart.
Mm.
And we had gone through a lot together. And our daughter now is 40 years old, so we had gone through a whole lot, and we were just kind of reminiscing when I was back home I was there doing a concert. No, I hadn't gone to do a concert. I was just home visiting, and we were just reminiscing how it was when we thought about how things were back in the day. But then that was our experience. But then as I wrote the song, I wrote it for people to think, to go back and think. I mean, I'm sure everybody has somebody in their life that if they stop being mad at them, stop fussing with them, stop cussing them, stop just think about it, you did have some good times together, and they were nice, beautiful moments. And if you think about it, it wasn't that bad. So I was really trying to shoot this for a Valentine's Day type song, to where when Valentine's Day come around, people could reminisce on that. Hey, I thought about you. People always say, hey, I called you because I was thinking about you. Well, now there's a song saying, I think about you. I remember the times when this went on and that went on because I think about you. So that's kind of how it came up, and I wanted each person that listened to it to be touched about somebody that they had in their life at one time.
That's amazing, because, I mean, it's a real, you know, some people say, oh, I just wrote that song because, you know, I was walking up the street and I imagined it. But to actually live a song and then write it that way and it to become a part of, you know, your album, I bet that that's epic for your daughter as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It was really, you know, like I said, I never knew how to write. I was in gap band and the studios with those guys, you know, pretty much half of my life playing percussion on their hits, on their stuff. But I was never in there when they were writing You Dropped a Bomb on Me, Early in the Morning, Outstanding, Party Train. I wasn't in the room when they were doing that. So I didn't know what they were doing. I just got a call to come in and play percussion. And then one day, God tapped me on the shoulder and said, okay, it's your time. You know, I joke about it and, you know, make fun about it, but that's kind of how it was. You know, tap me on the shoulder, it's your time. I'm like, my time for what? To do a CD. Like, okay, it's all right, fine. But to lay in the bed and to have melodies attack you and rhythms just overwhelm you and lyrics pouring out of your ears where you can't sleep, you have to find a pen and have to find a piece of paper and go to work. And at that point, I was like, wow, look at what you're doing, God, because I sure didn't know how to do it, but look at what you're doing. And that's how I ended up writing my CD. It just came from him, the inspiration of everything that I wrote on that, which is all, like I said, it's those different genres of music. You know, it showed me I can write in those different forms.
Right, and I want to say you're an amazing writer. I mean, you know, some of your songs, it's like, are you kidding me? You know, some of the songs that the Gap Band did, it's like, you know, really raised me. You know, the Gap Band really set the tone for where music is now. And, somebody says the Gap Band is in concert or Frankie Beverly and Maze is in concert, you know, those are the concerts that you're like, I'm definitely going to attend.
Yeah. You're touched by that music because it becomes a part of you, and you're touched by it, so you want to be there. You know, you say that, and I say, right now, if somebody handed me two free Nicki Minaj tickets, I would give them to somebody else or put them in the trash. Hey, Nick, you want two Nick Cannon tickets? No. You know, it has no connection.
What I can say is, maybe that's not your avenue. That's not your arena. You know, that's not your lane.
Yeah.
So I can understand
that. Exactly. You know,
I can understand that. I'm going to, for your listeners, I'm going to give them the pleasure of hearing I Got Some Funk.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. They really got to enjoy this one. I really would have liked Charlie to have sung this song because it was right up Gap Band's alley, especially since his brother played on it. So, but he had already turned into Charlie Wilson, and at that point was very, very untouchable. I couldn't get a hold of him to save my life. But we're still friends. We still see each other periodically every now and then. But at that time when I was doing the CD, I couldn't get him. But it was God. God sent his brother to me, and that's how Robert ended up playing it. But, yeah, I Got Some Funk was, you know, let everybody know, hey, I do Latin music, but I also love my funk.
So is there anyone you would like to give a shout-out to on today or say hello to?
Well, I mean, hey, everybody. I start picking out people. I'm going to start getting fan mail letters and Facebook things. You didn't say my name, huh? So you don't like me no more. So, like, you know what? I'm going to stay safe. Hi, everybody. Shout out to everybody from A to Z. I think that covered everybody.
All right. more time, let the fans know exactly how they can contact you and where they can get your music at.
Well, you can go on Facebook. I have a page. I have a Facebook music page, which is my second page. And I'm on Victor at VictorOrlandoMusic.com. I'm on Twitter. Oh, Lord, I don't even know my Twitter handle. I think it's VictorOrlando52 on Twitter. Apple's iTunes, CD Baby, you can get the CD or you can download singles or pretty much any of the downloadable engines that's out there. You can grab, you know, just Google Victor Orlando and it'll tell you the different sites that you can purchase the music if you'd like to get it.
Well, I would like to say thank you so much for being a part of my show today and to give your listeners and myself your time. I mean, it's been a pleasure. I love your music. I love what you're doing. I'm going to continue to follow you and follow your career path, and I definitely wish you the best on everything.
Well, thank you so very, very much. I appreciate it. I'm finishing up a series of different shows this weekend here in Los Angeles, playing for the Artists for Autism tomorrow. You know, autism is a big, it's like heart disease and cancer and all of that, but it's autism. And there's some artists that are getting together, and we're doing a show, a fundraiser show for that. And then I'm doing a show for the an African person, girl from Africa, from Sudan, Africa, Saturday. So I'm always still doing plenty of music, producing and starring in my own comedy film, getting ready. That's going to be coming up, the next big project on the plate. So I'm always going to try to keep busy as long as God allows me to continue being busy.
Awesome, awesome. And is all of that information available on your website?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Or your Facebook?
Everything is up there, exactly.
Well, we want to thank you for being a part of the show today on Facebook Success Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Simon, and would like to thank my special, special guest, Mr. Victor Orlando. We're going to end the show today with, you're so welcome. We're going to end the show with I Got Some Funk right here on Face Up Success Radio.
Thank you.
I got some funk stuck in my throat, and it can't come out. I got some funk stuck in my throat, and it can't come out. I got some funk stuck in my throat, and it can't come out. I got some funk stuck in my throat.
And it can't come out. I got
And there you have it, Mr. Victor Orlando. Thank you for being a part of the show today.
Thank you so very much for having me, and I hope everybody enjoyed the interview and enjoyed the music.
Definitely, definitely. Well, you can catch the rest of the interview and his music on our Facebook pages. My Facebook page is Miss Diamond Hot Topics. You have tuned in to Interviews with the Stars on Fisher Success Radio. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.